Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Let's bow our head and send our strongest members to the King of Pop, the Prince of Hope, our brother, Michael Jackson.
So I've been doing a lot of soul searching, and what I find interesting is the story of David. He fell in very, very significant ways, but then picked up the pieces and built from there.
I just had a conversation with Al Franken congratulating him. My wife's faith, the Catholic faith, she's there praying the rosary, and in the New Testament, Philippians, is a section to be anxious about nothing, prayer and supplication, faith in God. I'm in the Jewish faith, and God has a plan. I believe that.
The president does say he believes marriage should be between a man and a woman, but he's opposed to the Defense of Marriage Act. He wants to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act.
A couple of special friends, Bishop Gene Robinson. Where's Gene?
Some flesh is starting to be put on the bones of the Obama administration's future for embryonic stem cell research, or more specifically, the federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. Everyone expected a change in direction from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. That change came rather quickly. Now, we're getting news on the new guidelines for federal funding regarding embryonic stem cell research, and that will be our subject here in the first 10 minutes of Issues Etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, July the 7th, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. William Hurlbut will be our guest for the first 10 minutes. Then Dr. Ben Witherington will join us. Also in the news, the reported discovery of King Herod's quarry, or at least a section of what they believe was a quarry, used to do his big construction jobs in the first century. The Issues Etc. comment line a little later in this first hour, some of your comments. And then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will kick off the second hour of Issues Etc. this afternoon. We'll talk about the Time magazine cover story regarding the future of marriage. Marriage is kind of taking a beating if you watch the political news, especially in the GOP. And the divorce rate hasn't improved much at all. We'll talk about that with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. Dr. Kim Riddlebarger will begin a four-part daily series with us in the second hour on end times teachings. In this first part, the rapture, or at least what some allege will be the rapture. Dr. Kim Riddlebarger, our guest, in about 90 minutes here on, or about, yeah, 90 minutes here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio as well. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Dr. William Hurlbut is a regular guest. He's consulting professor for neuroscience, the Neuroscience Institute at Stanford University's Medical Center, and a former member of the President's Council on Bioethics. Dr. Hurlbut, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before we get into the subject of the guidelines for federal funding on ESCR, how were you informed about the dissolution of the President's Council on Bioethics?
Well, I got a FedEx letter dated the day before and announcing that as of the evening I received the letter that I was no longer on the council. It came as a bit of a surprise because a week after that we were scheduled to have our final meeting and we were working on some reports, two reports specifically that I thought were very good that we'd spent 3 years working on. So it was disappointing. But it is the president's prerogative to assemble or dismiss these kinds of councils. So he was doing what was in his judgment the right thing to do for his administration's purposes.
What kind of statement do you think it makes when President Obama dissolves the President's Council on Bioethics, especially given the kind of conclusions and reports it had issued previously?
It's hard to say what was behind it. I think the president will want to appoint his own counsel, but then again, the president said that he wanted to be very bipartisan in his leadership and that he wanted to transcend differences. Our counsel was very diverse, a mix of views, in fact, so diverse that a lot of times we had trouble agreeing, and we represented the kind of dialogue that I think our nation needs. So if some forces decided that our counselors should be dismissed on the basis of ideology, I think that was a mistake. I think it would have been better to continue the council until its term expired, which was in September. President Bush did that with President Clinton's council, let it go to the end, and I thought that's what would happen here, but apparently somebody had other judgment.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the new guidelines that were recently announced regarding federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. How would you put it in lay terms?
Well, the guidelines are to implement a different set of rules that will govern embryonic stem cell research. Now, as most of your listeners know, there is no major controversy about most stem cell research, which is stem cells obtained from adult sources, or at least later sources. Some stem cells are obtained from aborted fetuses, so there's some controversy there, but that is legal if done in a certain type of way where there's no involvement with the researchers with the abortion. But embryonic stem cell research is in a special category because it involves the destruction, the direct destruction of a human embryo. Now, we already do destroy human embryos in America every day because in vitro fertilization has leftover embryos, and some of them are discarded, thrown down the drain or whatever, just set out to dry out. So the argument has been made, well, let's use them for something good. But the trouble is that many Americans object to it, and I believe reasonably, because it moves our national government, our federal government, into a zone where the taxpayers collectively will endorse and encourage the process of the destruction of the embryos. Now, President Bush objected to that. He believed that the rules that the Congress has set to govern such research were contrary to this approach, at least in spirit. And others say, well, no, the rules could be bent so that if the embryos are destroyed, not with federal funds, and the embryonic stem cells are then brought into federally funded labs, having been created with private money, then that would be acceptable. And that's basically where the new guidelines lay down the rule for the moment, but it may change.
So if I'm a researcher and I want to do stem cell research where the source is human embryos, what are the rules I essentially have to know in order to get federal funding? What do I have to do?
Well, the guidelines basically set out the principle that the embryos, at least at this time, for this marker of guidelines, it may change, but for the moment, the guidelines are that the embryos have to have been created specifically for reproductive purposes, have to have been left over from clinical medicine. They can't be specifically created for research. And then there are a whole set of guidelines that relate to informed consent so that the couple whose embryo it is have full knowledge of what is happening, that it destroys the embryo to get the stem cells, for example, for the fact that the embryonic stem cells are going to be used in research. It's another rule they have to understand. They have to understand that they're not going to get any personal remuneration, even if the stem cells turn out to be very profitable for some company. And so there are a whole series of things. And I would say if you accept the idea that the government should be funding this kind of research with new lines and thereby incentivizing the destruction of these new lines, then the guidelines are moderate and reasonable. They don't extend to the realm of actually allowing federal funding of embryonic stem cells obtained by direct intentional creation and destruction of embryos. The idea is to make it only a byproduct of IVF at this point. But I think eventually you're going to see pressure on at the federal level to allow the direct creation of embryos, either by cloning or even directly with sperm and egg. And that's going to raise a whole nother level of controversy. And I regret it all, because I think we have ways to go forward without destroying embryos that will supply the same kinds of cells, if not now, then soon in the future. And I think we're getting into a realm of moral breach and controversy that is not good for the unity of our nation.
I guess what concerns me, and it looks like these initial regulations are trying to head this off at the pass, and I agree with you, it's going to be difficult to stop this in the future, but what concerns me is a couple or an in vitro fertilization clinic less than scrupulous saying, look, there will be money in this in the future. There will be embryos to sell or to buy. We can use these as a commodity for researchers who want more than anything. Well, actually, second only to federal funding, they want new lines. They want fresh lines to work with. It's hard for me to see how between the unscrupulous and the basic motive for profit, we're going to be able to avoid that entirely.
Yes, that's true. I think that there will be, if the science advances to the point where specifically creating an embryo leads to some kind of cures, which it's a long way from that right now, but it could get there. If that happens, then it may turn out that couples will go in and intentionally create embryos that they said were going to be for reproduction and then say, oh, no, they're not, or we don't want to implant more than one, but we have eight, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, there's a lot of pitfalls in this for sure. The worst prospect, however, is the notion of creating embryos specifically for research, and I think that will eventually come. But even as it stands right now, there's a loosening of the principles, and I think it's crossed a line that's unfortunate, and I don't think it was a necessary line to cross.
Well, let's take a break right there. When we come back, I want Dr. Hurlbut to explain why this ethical line needn't not have been crossed in the first place. We're talking about new guidelines for federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Dr. William Hurlbut of Stanford University is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, July the 7th. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back. Donna Hack, Robert Soliday, Charles Williams, Ed Hensley, Ralph Benning, Theodore Haney, Tom White, Don Husky, Daniel Jones, and Ronald Barman. Thanks for your support.
Treadmill for the Mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
We will be, at the direction of the President's executive order, reviewing on a regular basis the evolution of the science and the discussion in the broader society of the ethical issues. And when we believe that there's a compelling need, we will update these regulations.
That's Dr. Raynard Kington. He's acting director of the National Institutes of Health, talking about the new guidelines and the future changes in the guidelines that will inevitably come for federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. We're in the middle of a conversation with Dr. William Hurlbut of Stanford University, a former member of the President's Council on Bioethics, about those new guidelines. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943 or talkback at issuesetc.org. Dr. Hurlbut, you said that the line that's been crossed by these new rules didn't need to be crossed. Why is that?
Because there are alternative ways of getting cells with similar properties, and these ways involve no moral controversy. They don't involve the creation and destruction of human embryos. And when it comes to federal funding, in a democracy, even if it were a minority, you would want to respect the moral concerns of that minority. But in this case, it's either a majority or very close to a majority that objects to embryo-destructive research and the federal complicity in it in any way. So I think that's the wrong approach. I think we should have funded more strongly and more powerfully the alternative methods. Now, when President Obama made his new executive order on March 9th, he rescinded the earlier executive order of President Bush that specifically encouraged the National Institutes of Health to fund research into alternative methods. It wasn't necessary to do that, as far as I can see, for any purposes that he had. And it seemed to me the right approach that President Bush had taken to find a third option, one that doesn't offend anybody, but also opens avenues of scientific advance. There are several very encouraging prospects for getting such cells. One is called directory programming, and so-called skin cells being made into pluripotent cells, induced pluripotent stem cells, which is another fancy term for embryonic-type stem cells. And the other one is a project that I have put forward called altered nuclear transfer, which works perfectly in mice, is now being done in monkeys, and seems to work perfectly in that species. So we can move this on to human cells and very likely find a complete solution that does not involve the destruction of embryos. It seems like the right thing to do. I mean, why wouldn't you want to solve this in a way without controversy instead of pushing up against the moral concerns of a large number of Americans? You think about it, it's so logical that things can be done in constructive ways that are morally sound. It's as a Christian, it's hard for me to believe that the Lord of life wouldn't make possible avenues that are wholly in keeping with healing and love of life for the healing of life. I feel as though we just need to be constructive in conversation, creative in our science, and seek to sustain consensus, and then we will go forward as a nation. We got enough to have controversy about. Why have controversy over this issue?
Steve is listening in St. Louis and waiting on the line. Steve, thank you for being patient.
Not a problem. It sounds like what being described as a very utilitarian approach to decision making, where it's the ends justify the means, and the thought that came to mind was, if we found a cure for cancer that came from Nazi research on what they had done in the concentration camps, wouldn't we find that to be morally objectionable?
Say it again. If we found a cure that was based on something they did in the concentration camps?
Yeah, a cure for cancer. What would you think?
Well, there's a big controversy about what to do with the knowledge that was obtained in the concentration camps, and I've read some of the literature on that. It's truly horrifying what they did, and so controversy is whether we should use the knowledge or not. It turns out most of the knowledge isn't very useful, but yes, we don't want to repeat any of those kinds of controversies where good comes from doing evil. That's not the right way to go forward in life. You seek the good from the beginning and believe that following the path of the good will lead to greater good. It's you're right. It's a utilitarian calculus. You don't add up the good and the evil and say, well, it's a net good. That's not the way life works in the moral sphere. You should not do evil in order for good to come.
Finally, then, with the promise from at least the acting director of the National Institutes of Health that as the science evolves, the guidelines will also evolve. What do you realistically anticipate at the end, say, of a 4-year term of the Obama administration with regard to federal funding for embryonic stem cell research?
Well, I think the next big challenge will come when the next federal budget is being hammered out, and there is the statute that controls this, or actually it's a rider on renewed every year on the budget, so I guess it isn't encoded, but it's renewed every year and has been since the first Clinton term, and that controls the federal funding of research that endangers or destroys human embryos. It's called the Dickey Amendment, and I think it's possible that even as early as this fall there will be a major controversy over that, because it may just not be reintroduced or it may be suppressed. And then once that federal legislation is out of the way, then, so to speak, you know, out of effect, then that will open the possibility for a wide range of uses of embryos and later and later stage uses of embryos. Now, I'm not accusing any of my scientific colleagues of having any massive plans on this level, but on the other hand, once you give over to using human embryos with the justification that the previous question alluded to, namely the good that can come from it, then you are pushed. Why not keep the embryos alive a little longer and then sacrifice them? Or why not do many tests on them? And how many embryos? If you can mass produce them, why not produce thousands, maybe millions of embryos if we could find a way to get to produce eggs to fertilize? Likewise, I think that cloning will probably occur, human embryo cloning in the next few years, within the next 4 years. I would be surprised if it didn't happen, because it's been done now in monkeys. So that will open up the possibility of producing cloned human embryos, and there's going to be pressure to allow that, because then you could get specifically patient-tailored, genetically specific lines. So these are the kind of controversies that will come up, and we've been trying to avoid them by providing the alternatives. And while I've been serving on the President's Council on Bioethics over the past 8 years, I worked closely with members of Congress to try and find alternative approaches. Most specifically, Jim Talent from Missouri was very, very constructive on this, seeking to find consensus in the Senate and a way forward. Likewise, Norm Coleman, who I guess has now lost his seat officially, but he was a very constructive force in this, trying to find a consensus solution. This is the kind of leadership we need, in my opinion.
Well, finally, then, picking up on what you just said, it seems as though if the line at which we say we stop doing research on human embryos, destructive embryonic stem cell research, is arbitrary, that is 15 days, 5 days, whatever it may be, as long as that line is arbitrary and there really is no ethical, well-articulated ethical definition of the embryo or any of those things in the minds of our legislatures or regulators, it seems to me we will inevitably reach a point where we will be talking about allowing embryos to develop beyond this very simple form into more advanced forms and still doing research and destroying them.
Well, you know, that worries me too. And I it's possible there's such a balance of political power in this country that we won't do it here, but rather encourage it elsewhere. You know, outsourcing ethics may become a big project in the future, that we just fund some other country to do what we can't do because of the political situation. And one of the tragedies, in my opinion, of even moving as we are now, is that we lose our moral leadership in seeking alternative ways and also in endorsing ways that involve embryo destruction. And if we get to the point where we say, well, yeah, you can keep an embryo alive to 14 days before destroying it, the next country may say, well, that's your cultural principle, but ours is 30 days or 60 days or maybe 6 months. And if as hopeful science come from it and encouraging cures coming from it, you could very well see pressure, at least somewhere in the world, for creating and implanting cloned embryos, maybe not in a woman's womb, maybe in an artificial kind of endometrium, a kind of artificial womb, and coaxing them up to the stage where you can get more advanced cells, tissues, and even organs. And this is very real science. I mean, we have to be very careful what we lay down as fundamental moral principles, because it is possible to do these kinds of projects. Scientists in both Israel and Japan have established that you can take functional kidneys out of embryos at the 7 to 8 week stage and grow them up to the point where they produce advanced kidney function.
About 10 seconds and here.
You follow me on that?
Yeah, yeah.
And so this worries me a great deal. I think our country is launching down a path that at first seems moderate, but could easily slip into a deeper and deeper trench that is more and more offensive. But
Dr. William Hurlbut is consulting professor for neuroscience at the Institute at Stanford University Medical Center. Time is short here, Dr. Hurlbut. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, very good talking with you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about King Herod's quarry, where he did a lot of his, at least getting the material for his building they have alleged to have found it. Stay tuned.